Hello, everybody, and welcome to Big Talk. This is WMPG's weekly conversation show. My name is Suzanne Murphy, and I'm your host tonight. We're doing one of our series of arts shows tonight, and we're going to be talking with the co-founder and a board member of Space Gallery. If you're not familiar with Space Gallery, guess what? This is its 10th anniversary year. Space Gallery at 538 Congress Street in Portland, which is it's considered an art gallery slash performing arts venue, but that really doesn't do it justice, does it, John?
It's part of it, yeah. I'll try to do a little bit more.
It's also called an alternative arts venue. What was your concept 10 years ago?
I had moved to Portland in 2001 and met a couple of people who were interested in opening sort of a multifaceted sort of arts community class venue. And I had been part of sort of a live work performance collective in North Carolina where I moved from. And, we kind of threw in together, you know, at least intention wise and we're looking for something around town and, wanted to sort of fill what we felt was like a need in Portland for a place that could maybe provide a venue and walls and sort of a clean, well-lighted space to for things to happen, a vessel almost for performance and idea exchange. Arts is definitely a big part of what space does, but we also wanted to sort of be a community center and a place for people to sort of connect in different ways, and we're really fortunate to meet Christopher Campbell, who's our landlord, and he had the physical space where space is now and had kind of put the word out that he was hoping someone would do like a community sort of arts venue there. And we met with him and told him what some of our intentions were and our ideas. And he kind of, you know, gave us the green light to start, you know, moving forward with the space. And it kind of grew organically out of, you know, we had a rough idea of creating something that would have, you know, live performance and visual art and readings and lectures, but it just sort of hit the ground running and sort of snowballed and continues to kind of reinvent itself depending on who's showing up to program or what Portland seems to need. We're always trying to adjust to what is not being fulfilled in Portland. We're trying to.
For instance, this tonight, which we are all frustrated, the three of us, that we can't be there at the moment. Tonight at Space is the Oscar-nominated short films in the animation category. Every year, I'm a film fanatic. I watch the Oscars, and they give out these awards for short films, live and animated. And I think, Where can you see these? So, again, that's what you've done. You've filled that need for about 4 or 5 years in a row now of showing these films.
Yeah, I think this is the fourth year or fifth year. We do live action. I'll actually plug for that. That's on Saturday. But it's a touring package that one of the distributors we have a relationship with works with another organization called Shorts International, and it's just one thing that, like, fits within what we want to do and bring things that people might like. Short film is a perfect example. There's some incredible short film that gets made and there's very few outlets for it unless you're seeking it out on, you know, online, or if you're going to a festival that might program shorts, it's really hard to connect with it. So we have maybe 4 or 5 different touring programs that we've hosted multiple times. Mm-hmm. With different themes, different flavors, but that's just one thing that we do. Yeah.
If you're just tuning in, again, this is Big Talk. My name is Suzanne Murphy, and you can be part of our conversation tonight with John Courtney and Andy Graham from Space Gallery. Our phone number is 780-4909. Jot that down, 780-4909. We are here till 8 o'clock, and we welcome your questions and comments. Andy Graham, you are a board member. Does that mean that this is a nonprofit organization?
This is a nonprofit organization. I joined the board 4 years ago now. I just graduated from Muskie School of Public Policy and realized that I couldn't afford to give up my day job, so I'd better find a place to volunteer. And space was pretty much my favorite thing that had happened in the 30 years previous, and I thought, well, I'll volunteer and see what I can do to help. And so I've served on the board. I was president briefly for a year, and now I'm vice president of the board, and have seen the board go from a group that was wrestling with big financial problems to a group that quite happily is watching a very successful organization that has expanded, has a balanced budget, and is doing a great job of fulfilling its mission. What we realized as a board was that it was our job to find money and not our job to interfere with programming. And I'm happy to say that I was one of the people who spoke that as loud as possible, the programmers like John and Nat May, the executive director, were doing a great job, and we could best serve them by staying out of their way and helping them find money.
Well, speaking of money, I read in the Maine Sunday Telegram just a few weeks ago that here we are in the midst of still a recession. They can say the recession's over, but it still seems like a recession to me. Many arts organizations are struggling because people don't have the extra money that they feel they can donate, that they used to donate to arts organizations. And yet you've done well financially, and one reason is a giant grant. John, you want to tell us about the Andy Warhol Foundation grant a little bit?
Yeah, I know. I mean, Andy actually might know a little bit more in depth about it. Or?
As a board member, you probably...
I'll go there.
There's Andy.
It is our second grant from the Warhol Foundation. Our first was for capacity building. Nat May, our executive director, uses money very carefully and very slowly, and did a very good job of both making good use of our first grant and working hard to be a part of the Warhol family, so that when it came time to apply for this grant for programming, he was well positioned because they had good knowledge of what was happening at Space, how successful we had been with the money that we received previously, and as a result, we landed this really major grant for an organization like ours. And one of the really significant things is that it allows us to use the money for programming. We don't have to use it for infrastructure. We don't have to use it for fixing things. We don't have to use it for expanding our physical space. We can just use it to do great work, which is what makes Space what it is. The fact that we aspire to do great work and present great things, and sometimes we miss, but this will
so
help
what,
us on the way.
What is the programming then that this grant will, either you, John, or you, Andy?
We don't know.
Yeah, no, I mean, it'll
that's
be
what's
sort of
exciting about
do,
it.
Yeah. Do you have the first thing lined up though that you?
It's a lot. We've gotten smarter, I think, in the past in recent years about finding grant money and to support sort of the programming that we do. And I think we're a fairly frugal organization. Like we do 200 events a year.
200 events.
Yeah, we average just around 200 events with a pretty small staff, but a huge sort of support network of volunteers and people who put things on. So the program will a lot. There'll be certain, like for example, there's certain events that just are never going to be supported by the $7 or $10 that we charge at the door, so they had to be subsidized. So, like this grant money is a perfect situation where if we're bringing in, say, a filmmaker or a lecturer or an artist, we're never going to cover that by what we raise at the door. So, perfect example is to allot some money from this to cover travel and expenses to bring someone in. So, it's not specifically earmarked as of yet, but it will kind of go into our general operating. I think it's broken into three sections over 3 years. I believe
nice.
It's $50,000 each year for three
right.
years.
Very good.
But yeah, there's always places that we just need to support something. And, yeah.
Well, one of the most, I was just at Space last week, I think, for the Telling Room Slant series, which is a storytelling for people who aren't familiar with this. And if you've ever heard the Moth Radio Hour on public radio, but even if you haven't, it's just people telling a story for about a 10-minute slot, I think, that they get. They can't have notes. So it's sort of a combination of performance art but just people talking. Mm-hmm. And it was wonderful. It was standing room only. Crowd was very attentive. And this is the kind of programming, I guess, that comes to you. Did the Telling Room, if you want to tell a little bit about the Telling Room, that would be helpful too. They came to you and said, we want to do this here?
Yeah, Telling Room is another local organization, nonprofit, who works primarily with youth doing story. They have a variety of workshops, storytelling and writing, hip-hop writing classes and filmmaking. And this is a great example of we're pretty dependent on people coming to us with good programming. We generate a lot of what we do internally, but with that many events and as small as our staff is, we really need people who bring quality program to us that we say that we can identify that this is great, and then we can kind of help steward the nuts and bolts of it, like the techness, what we need, and making sure promotion goes out. But I think Slant, I think every single one of them have been sold out, standing room only. It was just an instantly successful, smart event. Community rose to it.
But this is not for kids. This is
this is
adults, yep. People standing up and talking. It's not kids performing.
Yeah, yeah. I think in some of maybe a little R-rated, probably. Right?
Yeah, I'd say so. I said last guy.
Yeah. So, yeah.
It's sort of like stand-up. One guy was sort of almost like a stand-up comedian, yeah. and fun. But the range of styles in the, I think, six people that spoke were just amazing and fascinating to me.
Yeah,
And that, if people are listening, you're trying to get a handle about what the programming is like. Let me just give you an example of some things I've seen in the past few years. I have seen Jonathan Richman, one of my all-time great independent rock and roll.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
People. Jonathan Richman performed there. Lynn Cox, who wrote Swimming to Antarctica, and is this incredible long-distance swimmer and a lovely person who spoke to us. Again, I think a standing room only. She's on a book tour, and there we all were, sitting in our little chairs and listening to her. And she took questions, and she was wonderful. I saw The Host, which is a wild South Korean horror film,
which was really fun
to see. On a first Friday, I wandered in and saw a really great art exhibit about the artist's healthcare costs for an event that the person went through who didn't have healthcare insurance. Really interesting art piece. And then the Telling Room, and then, other events. But just, if you're listening, the range of things that are held there, it's all ages. When Space first opened, I remember thinking, oh, another club. But it's not, it can be a club. But not always. I mean, that was your original concept from what you're saying, is a community center, right?
Yeah. I think we've really made a big effort to do. I mean, I think we are very aware that not everything we do is going to be appealing to everyone. But I think we have sort of a goal that, or at least an internal sort of effort being made that at least something we do is going to be really appealing to somebody. We don't expect that you're going to walk in there and this is definitely going to be something you like, but if you keep an eye on the calendar and you sort of are discerning about what we do, I think we're going to present something, hopefully several things during the year that are great. And we're always, I think we're, when we first opened up, there was actually kind of a lack of clubs in town, live music wise. The Skinny, which was a great, unfortunately long past, but great live music venue in Portland, closed about a month after we opened. And so we actually, I think, took on a lot more live music than maybe we originally intended to. I mean, we wanted to do live music, but we wanted to kind of pick up the momentum that they had built of touring bands coming through Portland. So in the earlier days, we had a lot more live music. Now with the State open again, Port City Music Hall, Empire, there's all these other great live venues in town. So we're still doing live music, but we're looking to try and find some of the places that aren't getting attention. And we've been doing more theater in recent years. There's a great production of Ibsen's Ghosts is coming up, that a local production or local theater group, Lorem Ipsum, is in rehearsal for now. We're interested in doing more readings and the events that, artist talks and things that are maybe not being covered. So we always try and adapt to what the need in Portland is, and it usually means that we end up doing a variety. There may be a metal band on one night, and there may be a philosophy film on another night, and there may be a kids workshop, and so
it's a mixed bag. Actually, looking ahead just in March, I see you have something called Portland Society of Architects Drink and Crit. Do you know a lot about that one? Was that brought to you?
I think that the PSA brought that to us.
It's the second time we've done it.
Second time, yeah.
Do you know much about it, Andy?
Nat May was talking about it last night. What it is architects bring projects that they have in process, throw them up on the board, and talk about where their problems are and ask for and get fairly heated criticism from their peers about the process. So it's for people who long to be back in school and be a part of that process, as well as a way to interact intellectually about your process and what you're working on with your peers who aren't necessarily in your same firm. And those of us in the public get to understand how architects think and what their process is, and the things that they're juggling as they design a building.
For anybody
performance art, if you will.
Yes, if anyone whose interest is piqued by that, that's going to be on Monday, March 12th at 7 o'clock, and it's free.
And there is beer involved.
That's the drink and crit.
Right.
That's what's called. If you're just tuning in, there's no beer involved tonight, unfortunately, but you are listening to Big Talk. My name is Suzanne Murphy, and we are talking tonight with John Courtney, one of the co-founders of Space Gallery, and Andy Graham, one of the board members. Space Gallery is at 538 Congress Street in Portland, and it is a nonprofit venue that tries to be an alternative art space, if you will. It has art on the walls. It has art on the stage. It has film, music, literature, and just very creative, interesting things, including another thing that caught my eye, which was called the Transcendental Chess Roundup, which involves chess playing.
I just
from what I'm reading here, but yeah. John, you want to explain it a little bit?
Well, Andy might run with it, but again, it's another event that someone brought to us who had an idea, and we're open arms very much for submissions. I don't know the specifics about the event.
Well, the specifics that I heard are you have a chessboard, and you set up your pieces, and then you rearrange your back row. So rather than the rook being in the eighth spot, it might be in the fourth spot, and your king might be in the eighth spot, and you match your opponent matches your back row, so you're both working from the same advantage or disadvantage, but it keeps you from having to deal with people who know the openings, and so you just get slammed by somebody who knows an opening and a proper defense to it, obviously turns everything on its head because suddenly things aren't as they seem.
Yes, it sounds like the ultimate chess is already, enough of an intellectual challenge for somebody like me, but the idea of just changing the rules of it, not the rules, but changing the beginning, the foundation of it. Mm-hmm. I love that. It's totally all about, like you said, creative thinking. So if you have a question or comment about our conversation, 780-4909, 780-4909, for Transcendental Chess Roundup on Saturday, March 17th. It's an afternoon event, starts at 3 o'clock, ends at 9, free, all ages. Bring your own chessboard set. It just sounds like a lot of fun. The bar will be open and free tea will be available. So that's great. How big is the space of Space Gallery? When I say standing room only, I want people who've never been there to get an image of what we're talking about.
Sure. It's bigger now than it was a year ago. We just added our new annex in this past year. The main space is about 3,000 square feet. For standing room, we're a capacity of about 300 people. Seated, it's about 120 to 150. Our new annex gallery that we sort of broke the seals on this past summer is an additional, it's about 1,500 square feet next door. I think we're still exploring how that new space affects what we do with space in general. It's allowed us to do some gallery shows where we don't have to worry about the people coming to a music show bumping into things. We're allowed to get a little more fragile, a little more installed there. There's definitely more daylight that gets in that space, which is nice. We're in the process of getting like a secondary PA and projection system in there. So I think when that's all wired in, there'll be more programming for maybe more film series, more like smaller, more intimate musical performances or readings that might happen in there. But it's I think it's still something that we're learning. Like, we have the space, we have the opportunity to take the sort of move into it, and I think it's treasures remain to be discovered as far as what we do with it. So.
Well, one of the things I love about the building is the ceiling is brick.
Yeah.
The ceiling is like curved brick sections. Is that because of the fires in Portland? Were buildings built like that after the
fires? The building Space In was originally a hotel, so the main space of Space Gallery was essentially the lobby. And so upstairs, what used to be hotel rooms are it's the artist studio building, and those are artist studio spaces. That was basically how you built a fire barrier between upstairs and downstairs before you had, you know, double 5/8 layers of, you know, lightweight gypsum that you could put up there. So it's this arched brick. The bricks are arched so they don't fall down in your head.
Oh, it's fantastic, you know, looking. I just love it.
When we first got in there, there were two or three layers of crumbling plaster and lath ceiling, you know, that was still up there. They just built one layer after another. And so we filled, Todd Bernard, the co-founder, and I, we filled 3 30-cubic-yard dumpsters with the ceiling and plaster. We were hauling and hauling and hauling and hauling out of there. And we saw that ceiling behind it, and it was, you know, we exposed that. It's a acoustic challenge, having the brick up there.
I bet.
But it's been really one of the sort of centerpieces visually of coming in there and seeing that.
Does the annex have that too? I haven't peeked into the annexed.
It's probably up above. The ceiling there is actually pretty intact, so there is a flat ceiling in the annex, and there's some tin work that we exposed. The former ceiling before we did the demolition work on the annex was much, much lower. It was a drop ceiling. It's a really small space. It had been the mainly frame space. They're now across the street. And if you ever went in there, you would never know that, I think, that it's as big as the annex now is. So.
Again, 780-4909. If you have a question for John Courtney or Andy Graham from Space Gallery, please give us a call. We're here till 8 o'clock. We have about 8 more minutes, I believe. So is there any particular... What do you think was, looking back at the past almost 10 years now, I would ask you, John, as co-founder and somebody who's really been at a lot of the events until, you know, as space got a bigger operation and your life changed, maybe you're not there as much, but what was the most, what's your favorite event that happened in the past 10 years? Just one.
There's been some fantastic music.
Well, let's pick out of a category your favorite music event.
It would be hard to name one. Yeah. I mean, I was one of the reasons I was really happy to stay here in Portland, and I'm really fond of was Cerber Scholl, who are no longer together, but they're you know, such a and they're all personal friends, and they've all gone on to really incredible projects afterwards. But if I just think at the top of my head, maybe the last time they played there, just because I'm so fond of them, and they're such an original local, creative force. So maybe I would, if I was to pick one of the 500 shows I've seen in space, that might be the one that pops in my head. So.
And what about, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I'm just curious, like, what was the biggest disaster you ever had, or the most nail-biting situation?
I mean, it's always funny when you do a program and 3 people show up, and you know, you can hear the crickets, and but you know, those 3 people often are happy with an event. We had an event last year where a local band wanted to do sort of a beach party in winter, and they brought in an inflatable bounce house that just happened to fit indoors. And it was, you know, a metal band playing on stage and this bouncy house in space. And I think we were all a little worried about how that was going to work out. We've had, I mean, the nice thing about being have a kind of a big raw space like that is we can say yes to some things that might get sloppy or might be, you know, it's not a picture perfect space. So we've done a few events that have involved, you know, paint and things flying through the air, but it's been, I don't know.
You know what that makes me think of? I don't know if you've seen it, but there's a documentary right now, this might be the last night, at the Nick on Pina Bausch, German choreographer.
The Vendor's film, yeah.
Did you see it?
I haven't seen it. It's 3D film, right? I don't know if they're showing it
3D. They don't do 3D because they do film.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't do digital at the Nickelodeon. Right. So... But it's astounding, and her choreography is radical, really, in a lot of ways. And some of it is actually, some of her pieces are performed outdoors. But some of the stuff that's performed indoors reminded me, she had the Rite of Spring, and it was like just a whole stage full of dirt.
Yeah.
You know, and they show, it's a documentary, so they're showing them bringing in the dirt and spreading out the dirt and getting their own footprints off of it before the dancers get on. And it's wonderful.
Yeah.
Really recommend. I don't know if they'll keep it another week or not, but it is nominated also.
Yeah.
It's for best documentary, and it's, I was really happy I got a chance to see it because I didn't know anything about Pina Bausch, and I'm glad I do now. Nice. Another event, this is a USM event. You know, how often do you get to see a film called Marx Reloaded? That's coming up on March 5th, and that's part of the USM Philosophy Symposium film series. Is that all of the film series of the USM Philosophy Department is all going to be at Space? Is that? Or do they go... on campus too.
It's kind of been a rolling that's been actually a really great event, that symposium film series. Jason Reed, who's a professor in the philosophy department, is a friend of mine, and I think it was four or five years ago, there is a film called Zizek about Slavoj Zizek that I was interested in showing at Space, and we're always looking to kind of collaborate with it's often that like we have the know-how about the event, but the subject, like, I'm not qualified to talk about Zizek. So
don't even know who Zizek is.
Oh, well, he's a character. He's a, I reached out to Jason. I'm like, would you want to co-present this with us? And he said, this would be great. And we talked about how, things like philosophy don't often have an opportunity to kind of get out from behind the walls of academia and out into the public. And we were like, well, let's maybe add a couple films to it. So we actually, the first year we did like three or four films, that we showed there, and we kind of conceptually thought of, it's like taking one really great class at a university where you feel really engaged and it's like an a la carte class, but we kind of pulled that out and we put it Space, and for $7 you're almost taking like what is the of quality of like an academic class. And it just went so well that first year. I think all the screenings were near capacity that we were kind of surprised how well it went. So we've made it a rolling thing where every spring we've done two or three films, and Jason had seen this film last year and it just was too early in the cycle. But this is like the second screening in North America that we're, I think it's showing at Duke like this week. And then,
And it's things like this that made me choose to support Space when it was time to find a board to serve on. Where else in the city of Portland would you have something like this? It is just, we are so lucky to have it. I had one thing I wanted to add, and that is that a few months ago we were looking for a new name for what is now called the Annex, and a bunch of us were sitting around kicking around ideas, and we were trying to talk about what Space was, and somebody who was sitting around the table said, for me, it's my church. And I thought, well, that really is sort of perfect. You know, if you're 28 years old and you need a place to commune with the things that are important to you, it's Space Gallery. And what a wonderful resource that is for all of us to have to see people communing with each other in that way.
So are you going to call the Annex the church?
No.
The chapel.
No. Good.
Called the Annex.
You.
We didn't go there.
Good.
Way too controversial.
Yeah, right.
But I love the idea that it was someone.
That was Andy Graham, who is a member of the board, a very supportive member of the board of Space Gallery. We're also talking tonight with John Courtney, co-founder of Space Gallery at 538 Congress Street here in Portland. Check it out online. You can see the wild variety of events coming up. My name is Suzanne Murphy. This is Big Talk. Please stay tuned for Cinema Hits and Misses, and we'll see you next week. Good night.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.